Today we start a new segment on UpToDate 90 Mile View. This is a series of conversations with folks who live and work roughly within the confines of the KCUR listening area. This series is intended to give us glimpses into the lives of folks who live and work in worlds very different from our own. Joining us this morning is Officer Nicole Wright. She's a six-year member of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. Her beat is part of what the police department calls its East Patrol Division. It includes the neighborhood where Officer Wright grew up. And Nicole, welcome. So good to have you here this morning.
Pleasure to be here.
So you patrol the area where you grew up. Did that seem like a natural step to you, or did it seem kind of strange?
A little bit of both. It was a transition. It was quite easy coming out of the academy because some areas that, you know, officers struggle is geography.
Yeah.
So that was an advantage for me. I know the streets. I know, you know, the quick way to get, you know, to places and such, you know, especially for our emergency calls, you know, you get that stress and that added pressure. But being that I'm from that area, it was quite easy for me.
And you know some of the people, too.
Yes, I have run across people I've went to high school with, people I grew up with, and that's where it becomes weird because, you know, you're trying to be serious and then it's like you're a cop now.
What do you say to that?
I was like, it's a transition because I didn't go to school to be a cop. And so that's the shock for people that said that you're a cop now. And what made you do that? It's like, you know, I want to give back to the community. I want to be a positive image from where I grew up at, because a lot of people do not view a positive image of the police officer. So I want to get into that.
Well, describe the neighborhood for us of the East Patrol Division. And has it changed much since you grew up there?
Yes. I grew up there and moved away in about 99 when I graduated from high school. And even though that was not that long ago for some, in that 10 to 12 years, it has been a big change, especially with the youth. Growing up, you know, when I was in school, you see an officer, you're scared of them. You don't want to, you know, get in trouble by your parents. Now the youth that, you know, that you encounter don't even have respect for you as a law enforcement officer. They don't care. You know, they are angry at you like you've done stuff to them. So it has changed a lot.
How do they show that lack of respect? I mean, do they just ignore you or say nasty things to you, or how does it work?
All of the above.
Really?
Yes. They tell you that they don't care, that they'll, you know, go ahead and do whatever you want to them. You know, they're not scared of the police. That I've had some say that they'll kill the police, you know, and it's like you look at them like, really? You know, why are you talking to me? I could talk to you just the way I am. I'm not trying to arrest you. That's not my goal. I'm just trying to help you and figure out what's going on. You know, and the lack of respect that they have. And sometimes their parents, you know, when they encounter us on the scene, that, you know, it's just crazy.
What does that sort of portend for the future if kids are talking that way to police? What do you think that's going to translate to down the road?
The authority, lack of respect for authority, you know, how they're going to get a job, how they're going to relate to their neighbors or anyone that they encounter. If you have no respect for the next man over, it's really sad. And it's like, you know, what is our future going to be for our youth? Because this is what our leaders are supposed to be.
Yeah. We're visiting with Kansas City, Missouri Police Officer Nicole Wright. You say if you can work in the East Patrol Division, you can work anywhere.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
You have a variety of different people. You have the people that are law-abiding, that are, you know, they care about their neighborhoods, care about the people that they encounter. Then you have the ones that grow up in a very hard environment and think that everyone is their enemy and have no respect for no one. You have the drugs that you encounter. You have the cat in the tree. You know, every type of situation that you have, you encounter in ESOM.
You know, you followed an educational path that got you out of the neighborhood and off to college. I'm guessing others who followed a similar path opted to stay away, but you came back. Why did you come back?
This is my home. Initially, when I got out of college, I tried to get an internship back at the job that I was working at Walt Disney World, and it didn't pan out. So I came back home and started a career. But a lot of the students, or a lot of my classmates, what I saw them doing was jumping from career to job, and I didn't want that. I didn't want to sign up for the military, but I wanted to be at home base. I wanted to get back to my community. And so this was the opportunity I felt was going to do that.
Why isn't it important for you to give back to your community?
Because it's where I grew up, and if, like, my belief is I can make it out, anyone can make it out. You know, if I had the strong family support, friend support, you know, why not give that back to someone else?
You told our producer, Danny Alexander, that most of the calls you respond to revolve around family issues. And those are issues like, what are you talking about there?
You have environments where they're, you know, could be on food stamps. They're not financially able to support themselves, you know, single parent homes. You have domestic violence, you know, parents not getting along, children not respecting their parents. A lot of family issues.
You know, there are times, though, when people aren't listening to the advice you offer to them, and you end up putting them in what you call time out. What is that exactly?
A lot of the calls that we encounter, you are amazed. It's like a lot of the percentage of time is that we're babysitters, we're psychologists, we're the ones giving them, you know, simple answers that, you know, they you would think they'd be able to figure out. You get there and you have grown adults arguing with each other like they're children, you know, going back and forth. Well, you said this and you did this and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do this. Like, look, people, you go stand over here and you go stand over here. Let's try to find a solution because it's not that serious.
You call it timeout or you just say you're going to stand here and you're going to stand there?
I've seen myself say that. Yeah, you're going to go in timeout right now. You know, quit acting like children, act like adults.
And how do they react to that?
When you yell it to them, because sometimes you have to yell it to them for them to understand, then they had that look on their face like, did she just yell at us? Did she just do this? Like, well, dang, I guess she is serious. Let me go stand over here and be quiet.
You know, you've also had problems with male victims and perpetrators forgetting why you were called to the scene, and they even started angling for your phone number. I mean, that really happens? I mean,
it
they do
really
that even
does.
When responding to a call?
Yes. This past weekend, that's every single time I've been driving with our wagon that we transport arrests in. And so I'll take an arrest down to headquarters and they'll be angry at the scene. Like, you know, I didn't do this. And, you know, you take me to jail for no reason. And you wasted my time. And then we get down to jail. It was like, well, when I get out, can I have your number? Can I take you out on a date? No, I'm not going to date someone I just arrested. It's not going to happen.
That's just amazing to me. Why would they think that might work?
I have no idea. But they're persistent. You know, I had one guy, I was waiting for him to go back in the back, but he just kept on and on and on. He was convinced that I was going to give him my number. He was convinced that we were going to go on a date in his world. Yeah.
Didn't happen.
No.
You know, you say there are times when interacting with young women, they sort of express an attitude that you say brings out the sister girl in me. What are you talking about
the
there?
The sister girl is like, you know, if you encounter an African-American female and she, you know, puts that neck to the side and, you know, puts her hand up in your face and, you know, like, no, you're not going to come at me. You know, it's a sister girl where we can relate to one another, you know, because we come from the same background and I'm going to give you that neck roll that you're giving me. I'm going to roll my eyes just like you're rolling your eyes. I could do the same thing you're doing. I came from the same background that you did or whatever. So, you know, you're not going to get anything past me.
You know, how stressful is all of this every day? And to what extent, Nicole, do you take this stuff home with you at night?
You cannot take it home. You know,
how can you help not taking it home?
It experience, you know. You can't – each call, you cannot – take with you. We're taught that in the academy, you know, you go on that one stressful call, you can't take the feeling that you had, the anger, that depressing, you can't take that to the next call. You can't treat that person that you're, you know, encountering on the next call as you did the person that, because they was not involved in that situation. So you're trained each call that you go on, treat it differently, treat it as, you know, a new call. So as you get off when that, as we call 1042, is our end of shift. That's our code that we have for end of shift. And in a shift, you go home to your family, you go home to your household, your pets, and just relax. Because you can't. If you take that home, that you're going to be overwhelmed and stressed out.
You know, to what extent do you get discouraged by what you see out there every day? I mean, do you just look at it sometimes and think, where in the world are we heading?
You can't go in there being hopeless or thinking that, you know, there's no options. So I wouldn't say discouraged. It's more encouraged because I'm like, I'm going to make a difference to somebody. I cannot, you know, let this not have any help for someone out there.
And do you think you do?
Yes. At the end of the day, you know, when I had that one person say thank you or appreciate it, you know, that's the fulfillment of all the stress that I have the entire day.
It's so good to visit with you.
It's a pleasure. I thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll visit again, okay?
Please.
That's Kansas City, Missouri Police Officer Nicole Wright. We'll bring you more voices from 90 Mile View in the coming weeks. You can find more information about our broadcast at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. On tomorrow's program, does your family drive you nuts? Are your holidays rife with tension? We'll talk about the relative tension of the festive season. Plus, Brian McTavish is back with our weekend to-do list. Our show is produced by Stephen Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.